to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running.
Hello, and welcome to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I'm here with Coach Valerie. Coach, we had some really interesting questions that came up with our YouTube channel. And the first one I thought was really interesting, and I wanted your opinion on it. Basically, how do you train for an ultra marathon? But before you kind of go into the training, like, what is an ultra marathon? Like, what makes an ultra marathon versus regular marathon? Can you give us a little education on that and then how I would train for that?
Sure. So an ultra marathon, honestly, is anything above 26.2.
Really? So, okay.
Yeah. So that's how they label it. So most people start off with, oh, and then they also are really, like, the most popular ultra distance, of course, things are changing, but it used to be where it was either a 50K, which is like 31.2, I believe.
Yeah.
And then it goes right. If you sign up, by the way, for an ultra, you'll always find there's usually a 50K, and they might have smaller, but ultra distance, 50K, 50 mile, 100K, 100 mile. Like, okay. That's kind of the ultra scene. And it used to be just kind of a fringe running. Like, it wasn't very competitive as far as, like, it wasn't. And it's still, by the way, not, it's getting there, but it used to just be like people wanting to test themselves. I just want to see if I can run this distance. And then most ultras are done off-road. So the idea is you're running on a trail, you're not on the road. So that's the idea behind ultra running, is to kind of get off the marathon, go past the marathon, and get off the road.
Okay. So how would I train differently for that? I mean, I do know here in Texas, the Dallas, the marathon, the ultra that we have every year, the Cowtown, is on the road. So
yeah,
there are definitely
road events, and there's track events.
Like, yeah, now they have, train the same way, wouldn't I? Like, as I would for, say, the Chicago Marathon, I would train the same way for the Cowtown, even though it's 31 miles.
You would train similarly, but like anything else, if I'm going to plan on being on my feet for a long time, then I have to add in extra training. So what I do on our plans, by the way, for those of anyone following us, so we just had someone actually run their first 100K. We had someone actually run their 50K and do really well. We've had several 100-mile runners. What I do differently for their training plans is a little bit more volume, because you're going to be on your feet longer, and also more combination running. So, for example, this is also very normal in most, especially if you're going to go off-road, there's going to be probably trails with different elements. Like, you might have rocks or mud, you might have to use poles. Like, there might be different things you have to train for that way. Like, terrain is different. Uh-huh. So for people that are definitely going to go on trails, you've got to include some trail training. So then I might have you go out Saturday on the road, for example, and do a traditional training run. And then Sunday you might go out on the trail and work on trail technique. Adding in a little bit more strength training for ultra running for two reasons. One, you're going to be out longer. And second, most ultras, you have to carry things. So like for a regular road race, you don't have to bring anything. There's aid stations, you're fine. For ultra running, those longer distance runs, they're not set up the same way. So you might have to run 6 to 10 miles before you see an aid station. So you have to learn also how to carry your fuel, your nutrition, your hydration. So training-wise, though, you really have to train very similarly to a road race.
Okay.
Most of your training is the same. However, if you are going to up distance and, of course, get out on trails, you've got to simulate that type of training. So for our runners, we do, I always add a little extra, convince them to do a little extra strength work. Mm-hmm. And then they've got to practice their fueling, their hydration. Otherwise, training is the same, and the nice part with ultra racing is, again, especially if you're going on trails, it's not as much speed oriented. So you're going to have walking, you're going to have more breaks, you're going to have people that run the longer runs, like the 100K, 100 miles. They're stopping at aid stations. Some people that run these longer distances, even, you're sometimes napping at your aid station. So there's a lot more understanding of training intervals when you go for longer running, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's not as scary. People aren't as worried about what happens if I, you know, a lot of times with road running, there's a fear like, you know, oh my gosh, I have to run continuous, right?
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to stop. With ultra running, it's a different mindset. Like
I wanted to run ultras when I was, after I started trying a couple of marathons, and I used to joke and say I wanted to do ultra so that I could run a half marathon, take a 3-hour nap, eat a pizza, and then run another half marathon. Because that's seriously like kind of what it almost felt like when I would hear about them. I never did get into that. The most I ever did was 2 back-to-back halves. So I literally ran a half in the morning, went home, celebrated New Year's without drinking, woke up the next day and ran another half. And that wasn't too bad. I decided that was my favorite way to do a marathon.
Well, I was laughing because I just recently saw, you know, people before social media, they would just run and they would just do their training. And it wasn't, it wasn't so.
You read books.
Why?
Like, but go and get a book.
But you didn't go for a run and think everyone's going to know my running. And what I see now is people are so, there's so much information. So the other day was asking, if I run at night and then I run in the morning, can I add those two runs together? And this is important for people to understand, is what's important is consistency. So much more than volume is consistency. Yeah. And the reason I say that is because if you follow runners, so for example, right now, one of the top American female ultra runners, she lives in Leadville. Her name is Courtney DeWalter. She lives in Leadville, Colorado, and her life is training. Like, she's a professional athlete.
Right.
And so she has the ability to run hours and hours and hours a day. So then, of course, you're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to run an ultra? I actually have a job and I can't run hours and hours a day. So what's amazing is this weekend, this past weekend, the 100-mile race at Tunnel Hill, the women's record was broken by a woman that works full time.
Wow.
And she says, of course, they said, oh my gosh, you know, how do you do it? And she said, well, instead of trying to run a bunch of hours all at once, I just run when I can. And there's another guy, his name's Harvey, and he wins. Like, he's the same way. He runs and he wins these ultra races, and he's a school teacher. So he runs in the morning to school and then he runs home. And then on the weekends, he gets in his long run. So he's like, he runs every day he runs, but he doesn't have time to run hours and hours. And so we tell all of our runners that the best thing about running, and this is for anybody, you absolutely, if you want to train for long runs, you are going to have to get long runs in. But the reality is you can break up your running. And it's just as important, especially for those of us runners that we're not professional runners. This is a big reason we include all those drills in our runs, because getting in the drill work is like getting in mileage, but getting in like compressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I really want to talk about that. But one thing that I also like, will put a pin in that, 'cause I want to talk about that, the drills. But one of the things too, that I had read when I was doing more of this is, and we don't like to speed shame people, but to be honest, these people that are running multiple times a day, or even running their quote unquote long runs before work, are able to get in 20 miles in 2 hours. Like, they're running, they're fast runners. And so when they're breaking up their 20 milers, they're doing 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night, because they can get that in the morning. And there's a lot of us that aren't that. We're double digit runners, or we're just barely a 9-minute miler or something. So let's, that being said, like, be realistic. Going out for 2 hours if you're a 10-minute miler is not getting you necessarily the quantity you think you need. And that's where these drills come in. So can you talk a little bit more about that and how important that is and why it's important? Because we get so much pushback in the running community that that couldn't possibly be the same as going out and doing my 20 miler.
Right. And it's not. So I want to keep that for two. Let's talk about two things. One is, and also, by the way, this is a big pushback you get from runners that do not want to do drills or they don't want to warm up. It's because they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it either. So they're like, I mean, I laugh because I saw something last week that somebody posted. Do people still foam roll? Is that a thing?
Oh my God.
I was like, it wasn't ever a I guarantee you runners still have tight calves. So what? Here's the challenge. And again, we all try to train like professional athletes, and we're not, we got to be careful when you're not a professional athlete. And the reality is most athletes have a coach or have, you know, for sure. And they are doing things like drills and warm-ups and things like that. It's just not very, it's not as talked about. It's not as glorified. So what we hear more about, what people post about is I went out and got my miles in. I got my miles done. So that's why it's so in our head that we've got to get these miles. And believe me, guys, you of course have to get your miles. So what I'm talking about is quality of mileage. So for example, just like Caroline said, if someone that's already a seasoned runner, right? They're not injured. They do races all the time. And they say, I go out and I run 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night, or whatever they do. That's fine. For someone that's, again, like I always say, our community of just recreational to age group runners, what you get from the drills that you may actually get, if you go out and you try to run 1 to 2 hours at a time, and your body isn't really primed for that, optimally conditioned for that, you're setting yourself up for injury. That's just a reality. Overuse is why you get injured. And if I'm overusing and doing something incorrectly over time, that's the problem, right? Right. So say I go out for my, say, your run, whatever, and then you're like, I want to get that second run in or get something else in. Well, the reality is what the drills do is they allow your body to work in a way that's really efficient, and you're training your muscles and your movement patterns, your central nervous system, your tendon, your muscle tendon elasticity, all of those things that a lot of professional runners or elite runners have already done. They've already built that into their running. And so you are building that in by bringing in the drills and bringing in these different movement patterns that will actually help you to go out and run for these longer distances. And that's the thing that I try to get across to people. It's not replacing your distance running. It's enabling you. It's giving you the strength and the skill to go out and do those longer runs. That's what you want. So that way you don't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not running all these hours. That's okay. You're running the hours you can run, and then you're using the time you have to be more efficient.
Okay. So let's talk about some of those training, some of those drills that I would do. Obviously, you can join your app and you'll talk about some strength training. You talk about the drills. Coming into the membership, you teach us the drills and you teach us how to run correctly so that our movement is correct for that time we're out there. Is there something in particular that I could do every day? This is a great question, right? What could I do every day that I wouldn't have to join your app or your membership? Right? And we were just talking about this. What is something that I could work on right now after listening to this, maybe on my way to the track, that I could start working on to get me to do a drill before I go working on the track?
Hops. Ball of foot hops.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I first started learning to be a running coach, getting into running coaching, I also didn't do drills. I just went out and ran and you just warmed up as you went. I mean, I was the same runner as everybody else. And one of the things that I was taught was, and was really shocking to me, by the way, was that runners need to hop. Runners need to jump and bounce. And running is the highest impact, you know, solo sport there is. And most runners, honestly, they skip that. And then they'll tell you, you know, my knees hurt. Well, the reason your knees hurt is because you don't have rebounding abilities. You haven't yet trained your muscle tendon elasticity. So hops do that for you. Not jumps, hops. And if you start on just with that, and here's the problem, right? Like anything else, I always read things like runners, you should jump rope. Runners, you should do this and that. And I'm like, almost no one I know knows how to jump rope when I meet them.
Oh, no.
Right? And so the reality is a lot of runners don't know how to hop either. And so they feel silly. That's the reality. Right. You know, most people don't do drills because they feel silly and they don't understand. They don't feel what it's doing for them. And it's just like foam rolling. If I get a foam roller out and I don't feel anything and it just kind of feels weird, why would I continue to do it? Yeah, it hurts.
Right. It hurts. Yeah.
So it's the same thing with what it's the same. You know, for me, it's like I want to go run an ultra. I want to run 50 miles. Well, if you want to run 50 miles, you better get those muscle tendons ready to handle 50 miles of wear and tear and stress. And doing that, part of getting ready for that is kind of getting that system ready. So yes, hops and drills are really going to benefit you with that.
So going into, to say, your YouTube channel, I know we will be putting out this week when this podcast comes out, go ahead and take a look. You're going to find a deeper dive into hops and elasticity. But aside from that, like I could go to your Facebook page, I could go to Instagram and search, you know, RunRx elasticity drills and probably get a plethora of things. What is the key thing when I'm doing ball of foot hops? I've seen you talk about this before where like, don't try to jump on your heels, right? Like, can you kind of break that down a little bit verbally before
yeah,
we get to the
video? Really,
it's
right. It's learning how to rebound. And what I mean by that is that when you really get comfortable with leaving the ground, I should say, and most of us jump by pressing into the ground and then extending upwards, right? That's the thought behind jumping. Well, the problem with that would be great, like if you're going to make a basket, but with running, if you have to land, right? I don't just have to. So if you're like extending upwards and pressing into the ground, well, every action has an equal and opposite response. You're going to hit the ground pretty hard.
Yeah.
So learning how to bounce, learning how to rebound, learning how to hop is allows you to feel, and we're really good about using your whole body to feel this, and lifting your chest and torso to unweigh your feet. It's a real whole body movement pattern. And it connects you for your run. And second, it teaches you how to reduce and minimize impact. Once you learn how to hold that sweet spot, we call it the ready stance, if your knees are slightly bent, your torso's lifted, that's your position to be ready to run. You start learning how that position helps you to get off the ground. It's an eye-opening, it's body awareness for people. And again, if you let me take you through it, it's the best way to do it. However, otherwise, just try a few of the hops. You know, anything you can do that helps you feel that your feet are light coming off the ground and that they could actually keep repeating that lift off the ground, that's how you know you've got it.
Okay, guys, so most likely you're getting this on a weekend. Go ahead and go into our YouTube channel or into our app. Go to the App Store or Google Play, search RunRx Academy, and you will look for the deep dives. I'll try to make sure this one gets put up at the same time as this podcast goes live so that you can get it. It'll be towards the top, or you can search through any of our deep dives or go to our YouTube. We try to put the ones that I think are really the best for you to know, but you can always watch our YouTube channel and go to the deep dive videos. This will be a good one, really walking you through how elasticity, how to properly do a ball of foot hop. And it's going to be a big one. So if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to our channel wherever you watch it. I would love it if you subscribe to it on YouTube and on podcasts. I would love for you to rate and review. 5 stars is like what we would love, and share it with a friend, because I found that that's actually what gets the podcast out to your friends and family. So send us a rate and review if you're on YouTube and you're listening to the podcast. Ask us a question. We do see all of your comments and we do answer them live on the podcast. So if you haven't already, like and subscribe, go to our website at runrx.fit or our app and join the membership. We'd love to see you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the RunRx podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runrx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runnerx.fit.